AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the ABC Civic News Media
I'm
app.
Dave Packer. Convicted murderer Danilo Cavalcante remains on the run as the search zone further expands in the Northeast following multiple sightings. Former Proud Boys leader Enrique Terrio, sentenced to 22 years in federal prison, the longest sentence to date for a January 6th defendant. Terrio was convicted in May of seditious conspiracy. ABC News' Pierre Thomas.
Terrio's family pleaded for leniency, his mother in tears. He appeared tearful as well, but I have to say he strode into court in an orange prison jumpsuit looking confident. And while he called the attack a national embarrassment, he never took responsibility for planning.
Kim Jong-un could meet with President Putin in Russia as early as next week. The Russians could get new weapons to fight against the Ukrainians, and in return, North Korea will likely ask for advanced technology for its missile and nuclear programs. The upcoming COVID-19 booster, expected as early as next week, and expected to protect against severe disease and death from currently circulating variants. This is ABC News. Alec Murdoch, the South Carolina attorney who was sentenced earlier this year for murdering his wife and son in 2021, is requesting a new murder trial, alleging the clerk of court, Rebecca Hill, had improper discussions with jurors about matters concerning testimony. ABC's Ariel Reshef has more.
Hill, facing allegations from Murdoch's legal team that she tampered with the jury by advising them not to believe Murdoch's testimony and other evidence presented by the defense, and pressured the jury to reach a quick guilty verdict. Murdoch's attorneys also claiming Hill invented a story about a Facebook post to remove a juror she believed might not vote guilty. And they allege it was all in an effort to bolster her new book, Behind the Doors of Justice, The Murdoch Murders.
The Murdoch lawyers say at least three jurors spoke up after the release of a book last month about her experiences during the trial. South Carolina law requires a new trial for those convicted when jury tampering is proven. Dave Packer, ABC News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
To listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, the Labor Day Tuesday edition. Dom, welcome to it.
Hey, Crudy, happy Tuesday. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Welcome back to all of us. What a hell of a weekend and a big week to come.
I got some new tan lines.
Yeah, do you?
Relaxed.
You better show me now, man. I know those things fade quick on a big white guy like you.
We'll talk about some tan lines in the next segment. Caucus Eve edition. Caucus Eve. Republicans, they got some malfeasance. They got a caucus on tomorrow, Dom. I think that's where we probably need to start the show. But may take note of the fact, back to wearing my Badger hat. My beloved Badgers have kicked off the football season with a victory, a W. And I was out on the Jordan Love boat taking a little cruise around Lake Mendota on the Big Lake in Madison and listening to the stream of the Wisconsin Badgers on the Civic Media app. I was thrilled. And then I went home for the second half. I want to see it in person. A little closer than it should have been at the half. But the Badgers, you know, they put a good stomping on Buffalo.
Oh, man, the running backs. I actually watched a little bit of that game. Crudy, running backs in charge. But what about the quarterback, man? Getting a little loose with the ball towards the second half there.
Well, Mordecai threw what should have been a long touchdown pass. And the guy dropped it. And the very next play was an interception. That was one of the momentum killers of the first half. But Mordecai, I thought, handled it with some aplomb. He's like a six-year senior. You know, with the whole coronavirus pandemic, a lot of players were granted an additional year of eligibility, and apparently he was one of them. And this transfer quarterback, because we don't have the Graham Mertz no more. We got the Mordecai. And I thought he had a fair game. He had one touchdown to DK I thought was particularly well thrown, and Braylon Allen, man, that guy's a beast. 245. Yeah. Kind of like me, but in a good way.
6'3", 215.
He is quite large and in charge. And I'm very excited this Saturday night. It's going to be a party, Dom. Badgers playing a night game, road game, first road game of the season, going out to Washington State. And last year, that was a loss for us.
Uh-oh.
We lost to Washington State. And that's in part why Paul Christ is no longer the head coach here. The Luke Fickle era began on Saturday. ERA, not hopefully E R-R-O-R, you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Man. We hope Chris McIntosh and company didn't make an error in looking over Jim Leonard. But, you know, one win.
One win, so far so good. Undefeated, baby.
Looked a lot like old Badger football, though. A lot of crowded out, you know. Malusi had that big 89-yard run, but that looked like old Badger football. And then, you know, Braylon Allen just comes, you know. I wish I could hear Boomer do it, you know, just boom, 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 you know, like he did on NFL Live for so many years.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So that was exciting, and we're very excited. The Badgers will be streaming right here on Civic Media and, of course, playing on the radio this Saturday night. Nothing like a night game. Playing under the lights, Dom. 6:30 p.m. Central Time kickoff. And I guess they'll get to the lights later because they're playing on the West Coast. But Washington State, the opponent, going out over our flagship, WRJN, and all around the network, including WFHR, that's Wisconsin Rapids. WRJN, by the way, is Racine Kenosha, 1400 AM Milwaukee. That's all you need to know. Or get the Civic Media app. We've got them in Richland Center, and we've got them up in Lake Air Country, WLAK, 1260 AM. And did I also mention Packers kickoff this Sunday? Featured game of the week, Jordan Love. Like I said, I was out cruising in the Jordan Love boat, and I'm very excited. And I looked up his stats. My son's talking trash. My son, he's not so much a fan. He's like a fantasy football fan. You know, he's got his players or his guys he likes to watch on ESPN, but, you know, not so much the game. So anyways, he's talking about Justin Fields. And the Bears are the opponent this Sunday for the Packers. And I mentioned the Bears still suck, but they will continue to suck with Justin Fields at the quarterback. Now, while this kid is incredible running the football, over 1,100 yards last year, his quarterback to, you know, like touchdown to interception ratio is horrendous. He's 15 games under 500 in his career. Two-year career, he's 6-21, dude, as a starter.
Nowhere to go but up.
Jordan, his career QB rating in two seasons is under 80. And I can just tell you, that ain't good. Usually you don't get to be, you know, that's not like a B minus. That's kind of a bad grade in the NFL.
Where's that game? Is it in Green Bay or is it in Chicago?
I think we start in Chi-Town. I think they end the season against the Bears up in Green Bay. I think that's what they do. They book in that rivalry game.
Yes, Packers at the Bears, Sunday afternoon.
3:25, National Game of the Week. And we'll have it on WRJN, WRCO, and our new one up in the Northwoods, Q98.3. So if you're going up to the cabin this weekend, Packers. So very excited about the sports, less excited about the malfeasance caucusing going on the GOP side there. They're getting ready to huddle, Dom, about impeaching Janet Protasiewicz.
Crudy, the reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnop, Senate Republicans Wednesday are expected to discuss options for impeaching or seeking other sanctions for newly sworn in liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz if she does not recuse herself from redistricting cases. Senator Van Wangard of Racine told reporters after a committee hearing Tuesday that he was sure the topic would come up in the caucus's conversations, though he said he has not spoken to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who would kickstart impeachment proceedings in the Assembly. I don't think we're looking at any one specific thing at this point, he said. I've talked to a couple of my colleagues, and they're all waiting to see what happens in the Assembly. Wangard's committee has been taking up appointments to the State Judicial Commission, which could receive complaints against the state Supreme Court's new liberal majority. On Tuesday, the committee held a hearing for two of the confirmations after taking up three others in early August. Another quote, "The only thing that we have to depend on is that the commissioners are going to do their job and follow the law without putting any perspective of political bias into it," Wangard said. Senators turned from recusal issues to internal tensions on the court as they questioned two appointees, Yolanda Anderson, the most recent head of the commission, who works for the State Public Defender Milwaukee Trial Office, and Jane Foley, who worked for the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. While questioning the nominees, Wangard alluded to conservative Chief Justice Annette Ziegler's emails to the court in which she criticized liberal members for conducting business in private. He also
referenced that a snowflakey whine.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. But okay. All right. So he put it out there. You got to talk about it, I guess. He also referenced new state courts director Audrey Skowronski signing reserve judge orders and taking leave of absence from her current judicial position, which Ziegler said was not allowed. The confidence is shaken, Wangard said of the Supreme Court. After the hearing, he described disputes within the court as a food fight. Senator Kelda Royce, a Democrat from Madison, praised the nominees for not participating in political nonsense and criticized Republicans for asking nominees to prejudge things that have not come before you to do exactly what they're complaining about. Anderson and Foley said the commission only handles issues of judicial misconduct, not administrative issues on the Supreme Court, like open meetings laws. The appointees said they were not familiar with walking quorums, terminology Ziegler used to criticize the actions of the four liberal justices and who holds an authority to appoint reserve judges. Foley said she was unsure about judges taking a leave of absence, but later acknowledged there was a precedent set by Milwaukee County judge resigning to take a Fulbright position in Bosnia because there was no sabbatical policy. She said the commission would look into the issue if it came before the panel. Wangard also raised concerns Tuesday that complaints on how the commission acts on them are confidential, not subject to open records requests until the panel reaches a decision. Wangard said he might seek changes to the statute. The committee took up three other nominations to the Judicial Commission in August, where they questioned Democratic Governor Tony Evers' appointees, who were never confirmed by the Senate. Senators asked how the nominees would handle issues of recusal, referencing Protasiewicz's publicly calling Wisconsin's electoral maps rigged during her campaign. And if I just may throw this caveat out there, other reading I've seen on this, Dan Kelly said that those maps were constitutional. So he offered an opinion about the maps.
Yeah, but he didn't win office, so we can't impeach him.
That's the point, though. So are Republicans, are you absolutely actually suggesting that if Dan Kelly, you can't spell Kelly without two L's, if Dan Kelly would have won, that they would have been asking for his recusal because he judged, quote-unquote, the maps to be constitutional, question mark?
Of course not, Tom.
Of course.
May I point out?
Please.
You don't even know what a walking quorum is.
Yeah.
Do you know what a walking quorum is? I will confess, I did not know what a walking quorum is, Annette Ziegler. So let me define it for you, and then you'll know. A walking quorum, according to Wisconsin, this is DOJ, state of Wisconsin, .us/US Open Government.
All right, a lot of backslashes.
A walking quorum is a series of gatherings among separate groups of members of a government body, each less than quorum size, who agree tactically or explicitly to act uniformly in sufficient number to reach a quorum. A walking quorum may produce a predetermined outcome and thus render a publicly held meeting a mere formality. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has commented that any attempt to avoid the appearance of a meeting through the use of a walking quorum is subject to prosecution among the open meetings laws. Furthermore, the requirements for an open meetings law cannot be circumvented by using an agent or a surrogate to poll the members of government bodies through a series of individual contacts. The series of gatherings need not be face-to-face, for example, phone calls, email exchanges. So a walking quorum is what? The liberals had already polled themselves and come to a predetermined decision. Very troubling.
Is it really troubling?
No, not really. Not to me.
No. Okay. Well, but of course, the Republicans, what's troubling to them is they're starting to lose their grasp on power, and that scares them tremendously.
Come back with us. Jimmy Buffett passed over the weekend, and the guy from Smash Mouth. More Devil's Advocates.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs.
but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 60. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 63. Cloudy skies expected. 50 tomorrow night, overcast skies. Cloudy Thursday with a high of 65. 72 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 71.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines. It's toll free, 844-967-2789. Of course, get the really cool Civic Media app. Just click on the Devil's Advocates. You can type text. You can hit the button to call. It's super cool and super easy.
For you to say.
Yeah. Come on, man. It's been a while.
Glad to get the kids out the door this morning, Dom.
Ah, kids been out the door, man. Izzy came home for the weekend, went back to college at like 5 o'clock this morning because she had an early class. But it was great to see the family a little bit this week.
My senior, last first day of school. You know, he's out of fingers, 12. So it's 2 into 1, right?
Yeah, right.
And so anyways, it was good to see him out there. Dom, we've got some breaking news within the hour. Shared by former journalist, current friend of the Devil's Advocates, our buddy Bill Dunn, shared this story from the AP. Complaints over campaign comments by Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice are dismissed. Ooh, that's going to sting. You Republicans, you're caucusing tomorrow. This is going to sting. Yeah. Dateline Madison, a state judiciary disciplinary panel, has rejected several complaints lodged against Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz that alleged she violated the Judicial Code of Ethics for comments she made during the campaign. Let's just say, Dom, it's a setback for Republicans who argued those remarks could warrant impeachment. Well, they don't care. You know, they didn't warrant impeachment before this ruling, and they won't warrant impeachment after the ruling, but that won't really affect whether or not Republicans choose to go forward with this process. Now, Protasiewicz on Tuesday released a letter from the Wisconsin Judicial Commission informing her that several complaints regarding comments she made during the campaign had been dismissed without action. The commission's actions are private unless released by one of the parties involved. That's a shocker. The other side didn't release the outcome.
No, they didn't. That's strange.
Protasiewicz received permission from the commission to release its May 31st letter to her, which she provided to the Associated Press. And Protasiewicz's win in April flipped the majority of the court, if you're unaware, Dom, from conservative to liberal for the first time in 15 years. And oh, are the snowflakes whining? they're incensed, Dom. Now, Democrats heavily backed her campaign, Protasiewicz, that is, during which Protasiewicz criticized Republican-drawn electoral maps and spoke in favor of abortion rights. And in recent weeks, Dom, we've talked about this quite a bit. Republican lawmakers have been floating the possibility of impeaching Protasiewicz over her comments calling the legislative maps they drew unfair and rigged. But the commission apparently says complaints against Protasiewicz, several dismissed. they're unmeritorious, apparently, Dom.
Crudy, also on this very topic, Scott Bauer over at the AP. Let me jump.
I was also quoting Bauer, it. Just so you know.
Oh, that was the same one? Okay. Yes. The Republicans, let's see. Bear with me. I got it. The Republicans, drawn legislative electoral maps were filed by Democratic-friendly groups. Supreme Court yet to decide whether to hear the cases, and Protasiewicz has not responded to a motion that the Republican-controlled legislature that she recuse herself. The Wisconsin Republican Party in February released one complaint. So back in February, they released this complaint filed against Protasiewicz by Randall Cook, a Republican supporter. His complaint, and presumably this is one of the many complaints that were dismissed today, but at the time, his complaint alleged that Protasiewicz had declared how she would rule on cases related to abortion and redistricting in violation of provisions of the state judicial code. Here's a quote. Wisconsin has never seen a Supreme Court justice so brazenly declare how she would rule on a case before it ever came to the court. And we had hoped the principles of equal justice would be seriously considered by the Judicial Commission, despite their liberal bias. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chairman.
Wait. That's a misprint. Obviously.
That is a misprint. That's not shimming. He's the GOP chair, not the Wisconsin Supreme Court Chairman. That's all right. We get it wrong once in a while, Bauer. Well, Brian Schimming said this. It was clearly asking too much. But again, Brian Schimming, your guy said that the maps were, what, constitutional. He's offering an opinion on the maps. Are you suggesting then, sir, that he, if he comes before the law, before him, that he should have recused himself? I mean, the whole thing is so absolutely weak, and they know they're just going to get eaten alive if they go down this road, Crudy. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Here's what they could do. It would take a simple majority. It would take the will of the caucus leader, in this case, that, of course, is Robin Voss. On the assembly side, all you have to do is get a simple majority. Plenty of cover fire for anyone that could be in a even semi-competitive district, right? You can just use the gerrymandered 50% off the top and the other 17% you got to spare. Well, you can let those guys, you know, just abstain from voting, let's say. And here's the sweetest part. And I think this will be discussed in earnest by the Republican caucus tomorrow. No one's actually got to go on the record above and beyond that. In fact, there's greater value to never moving on the Senate side. Stalemating her, taking her, basically benching her through the assembly action, and then no Senate Republicans actually ever taking the step to impeach.
So put her in the penalty box and never rule on the case and leave her, what, in permanent limbo? Of course,
as long as they legally can.
Lawsuits, right? I mean, right. But that, as long as you legally can, will be, you know, subject to lawsuits, certainly. But I tell you what, man, I mean, given the
what's that, a year? 2 years?
Sidelined for just one case or for all the cases?
All cases, dude.
Tell me that the separate co-equal branches of power, that they can go in and influence based on this base. She hasn't even ruled on anything yet. She hasn't done anything. That they would go down this road and sideline her for X amount of months or years is asinine. It would never happen. Number one, the court case, the lawsuits would fly around. And no matter what they do, there's always a workaround.
And in the meantime, she's sidelined. At the end of the day,
so she resigns and Evers appoints somebody else. Boom. Now, it doesn't help her necessarily, her career and all those issues. But if you're looking for a competent Supreme Court that still maintains a liberal majority, there's a work. No matter what they do, there is an end around their action. They're not going to do it. They'll never get away with it.
More Devils. We'll be back. You'll never get away with it.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former Proud Boys leader Enrique Terrio has been sentenced to 22 years in federal prison, the longest sentence to date for a January 6th defendant. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Before the sentence was read, Enrique Terrio insisted he's become a different man. Here in court, the former Proud Boys leader called January 6th a national embarrassment. Terrio said he now views his statements to followers about the Constitution and 1776 as a perversion. Judge Timothy Kelly said he was glad to hear all that, but Kelly concluded the far-right leader had an outsized impact on the January 6th attack, justifying the longest sentence to date.
After the Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell froze in front of two reporters on two separate occasions, the Capitol physician saying Tuesday McConnell did not suffer a stroke or seizure. 34-year-old Danilo Cavalcante, recently convicted of murder in Pennsylvania, who escaped from a county jail, spotted on cameras in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, say state police. This is ABC News.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.com.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Get your towels ready, it's about to go down. Everybody in the place hit the opening deck, but stay on your mother toes. We running this, let's go.
I'm on a boat, I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me, cause I'm sailing on a boat.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. It's back to work. It's Monday, right, Dom?
Are we working as I was having it right now?
Do you know, I started my day in the rough grouse capital of the world, Park Falls, Wisconsin. That's up north there, hey. That's up on the UP. That's where I started my day, Dom. Up there in vacation land.
Go grouse hunting, man. It's a thing.
I'm sure someone enjoys that.
See, you got a boat now, man. Next thing you know, you're going to be going grouse hunting, Crudy.
You know, they had this big old aid statue, big eagle in the downtown. Thought it was pretty cool. Took a picture of it. You know, that's taking in the local custom and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think that we missed the boat, Dom. Because you know what was this weekend in Park Falls, Wisconsin? Flamboarama, baby! The 70th anniversary of the Flamboarama. It's got the beautiful Flambeau River, although I've only seen the Northern Fork. But the Flamboarama was this weekend in the Park Falls. Bands, excitement for the kids. Lots of stuff to do.
Summertime in Wisconsin. It's the most beautiful place in the world, better than Minnesota.
Well, in the wintertime here, it's always better than Minnesota here, Dom. You know, there was an article at the Washington Post over the weekend. I think you put it up on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page. Fake elector plot raised concerns over legal peril, indictment shows. Well, Dom, you and I have talked about this fake elector plot, especially the plot that was perpetrated here in that Wisconsin State Capitol, like one block from me. And I would point out that happened on December 14th of 2020. That happened like an hour after the Wisconsin Supreme Court had literally closed the last legal pathway to overturn the election here in the state of Wisconsin. And those Republicans got together. Now, our friend Patrick Marley used to be at the Journal Sentinel. Now he's at the Washington Post, along with others, Dom. A lot of bylines on this one. Well, they throw this out, and I want to get at least as far as the Wisconsin part of the story. So I'm going to start, if you don't mind, Dom. 6 weeks after the 2020 election, senior campaign officials for Donald Trump called a group of loyal Pennsylvania Republicans to walk them through how they would convene 2 days later to cast the state electoral votes for the sitting president. There was a problem. Joe Biden had already been declared the certified winner in Pennsylvania. So a number of Republicans on the December 12th conference call who had volunteered to serve as Trump electors if he won the state said they were uncomfortable portraying themselves as legitimate electors, according to a federal indictment filed against Trump last week, accusing him of trying to overturn the 2020 election. Oh, yeah, that whole thing, Dom. The campaign officials, led by lawyer Rudy Giuliani, what a fine lawyer he makes, told the electors they were meeting on a contingency basis only, the indictment says. After the call, the campaign officials circulated language to add to the Pennsylvania elector certificates to be submitted to Washington, asserting that the votes were intended to count only if Trump prevailed in litigation in the state. That'd be an interesting out clause, Tom. Might even give you some legal protection, one might say. Did they have that in the state of Wisconsin? I don't think they had that here, did they, Dom?
They did not.
Let's jump down in the body of this piece just a bit, Dom. In five other states, Republicans did not hedge. Instead, they signed paperwork claiming to be electors for the president and casting their votes for Trump, even though he had lost their states. Think Wisconsin. Electors in a seventh state, New Mexico, included contingency language similar to that in Pennsylvania. The Trump campaign then moved ahead with plans to use all the certificates to pressure Congress not to certify the Electoral College count for Biden. Now, Trump's team didn't return comment, apparently. Let's, again, jump down just a little further. Where's our pal Andrew Hitt? Do you have him, Dom? I think I'm just about there.
Let's get to Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Oh, thank you. I got it. Again, from Patrick Marley and others at the Washington Post. This posted today. You can check it out on our Facebook page. In Wisconsin, the executive director of the state Republican Party alerted his chairman, Andrew Hitt, that Giuliani was telling states not to let the media know about plans for the Republican electors to meet.
Why wouldn't you tell the media, Dom? Why wouldn't you tell the media? I mean, why not be transparent about this? This is just a backup plan, right?
Right. Well, it was in Pennsylvania. They didn't clarify here in Wisconsin. Hitt's response to the state Republican Party executive director was, quote, "These guys are up to no good and it's going to fail miserably." Yes, Andrew Hitt. And you signed it anyway. Hitt later told the committee he felt comfortable about the Republican electors meeting because a challenge was still pending in court.
Not true. It had been all challenges had gone through the Wisconsin Supreme Court more than an hour, and the ruling had been dropped more than an hour before they met to cast these false votes.
When they were planning the meeting at that time, I guess, you know, it was still in litigation. And so what? I mean, what's an hour, 2 hours, a couple of days, a week? Hitt had been assured repeatedly that the Wisconsin meeting was happening only to ensure the Republican electoral vote for the state would be counted if Trump managed to win the lawsuit. He never thought of making revisions to the Wisconsin paperwork that would have made clear the Republican votes were valid only with the approval of a court. I wish we would have put that in there, he told the committee.
I bet he wishes.
Bet you do. And the conversations appear to have been particularly fraught in Pennsylvania, according to emails published by the committee. A top attorney for Pennsylvania Republicans expressed deep reservations about the plan a day before the electors met. Thomas W. King, general counsel for the state Republican Party, sent Trump campaign official an email the day before the electors were set to meet, saying he understood the Trump electors in Pennsylvania were told they would receive, quote, indemnification by the campaign if someone gets sued or worse. They were also to receive a legal opinion by a national firm and certified to be accurate by a Pennsylvania attorney, King wrote. Instead, they got a memo from Cheese Bro, one of the six unnamed co-conspirators referred to in the indictment, in which even Cheese Bro describes the plan in Pennsylvania as dicey because state laws for the governor, because state law calls for the governor, who at the time was a Democrat, to approve any elector substitution. King made changes to the elector paperwork to make clear the Republican electoral votes were valid only with the finding of a court order that could not be appealed. In an interview last week, King said he made those modifications after hearing concerns from electors. No one ever offered indemnification. Any document that any lawyer looks at needs to be accurate. One Pennsylvania Republican, Crudy Toll, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the sensitive matter, said a concern of the electors was presenting yourself as fraudulent. Well, yes,
because that's criminal. That's a problem.
The person said several electors spoke to their personal attorneys about potential legal vulnerabilities. They were all doing a little research on their own background about what they'd be getting themselves into and what they'd be opening themselves up to, the Republican recalled. 3 days before the electors were to meet, Lawrence Tabas, T-A-B-A-S, the chairman of the Pennsylvania Republican Party, contacted Hitt, his counterpart in Wisconsin, to ask if the Republican electors in his state would be meeting. Hitt confirmed they would be. Hitt also told House investigators that Tabas said, well, I guess this is just all new to me. I'm not sure what's going on or why we're doing this. And I'm getting all these calls from the Trump campaign. He and six others ultimately chose not to participate in the meeting, more defectors than in any other state.
But Andrew Hitt had no such qualms, Dom, even though he himself is a lawyer and offers political counsel, I believe, at least per his title, at Michael Best and Friedrich, one of the big firms here in the state of Wisconsin.
These guys are up to no good, and it's going to fail miserably. Where do I sign?
Line one, apparently, Dom. Line number one. One must wonder if it got some sort of asylum deal. I mean, he gave testimony before the January 6th committee, right? And he's additionally, I believe, given separate testimony to Jack Smith. At some point, I got to think Andrew Hitt's rolling over on Cheese Bro. What do you think? And probably yeah. Rudy as well.
I think the whole thing is slowly coming apart. And I would love to see some action here in the state of Wisconsin.
Dominic, in addition, this from the Washington Post piece, let's bring it to conclusion as thus. In addition, Biden electors have sued Trump electors in Wisconsin and Michigan. The civil actions, if successful, could carry stiff penalties of tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. Hit them where it hurts them, in the checkbook. Ooh. Republicans have bristled at the lawsuits, saying Democrats are trying to punish them for preserving their legal options. Is that what you call it? But at the time, some Republicans had suggested that the gambit would fail. See the aforementioned Andrew Hitt, chairman of the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin at the time.
Why would you want indemnification and not tell the media if there's all on the up and up? Of course, none of that, you know, makes any sense if you believe what they're saying now.
Dominic Clark, the deputy campaign manager, summed up how the plan was likely to unfold in a text message to a colleague. In Arizona, Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia, Michigan, our slates of electors will also vote. Pennsylvania probably won't happen. They'll be called invalid and out of order, and they're probably right. Didn't stop the Wisconsin electors, though. And Ron Johnson was more than willing to personally deliver those to the vice president because somebody's staffer asked, hey, Ron, could you deliver these fraudulent documents to the vice president, try to overturn the outcome
didn't even,
of the election?
It wasn't even described as fraudulent documents. I mean, presumably Ron Johnson
Knew
exactly
they were not the real
saying,
electoral.
Right? But when asked about it, Ron said, "Oh, I didn't know what it was." He didn't know. He's gonna pass along that package. You know, don't mind the sulfur smell. Just pass it along. It's all good, Ron. He doesn't know anything. I'm just, you know, doing what somebody asked me to do, Ron Johnson. Yeah, you're a bag man now, Ron Johnson. That's your role? Come on. Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute.
844-967-2789. Mark from the sack with lots of boating advice and political thoughts as well, I suspect. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Doing okay, and good luck on your new boat. Make sure you get it registered, since it sounds like you did a private sale.
I do like I did in college. You know, if it doesn't sink in the first 3-4 months, then I go tell the state about it.
Yeah, you can go, it's pretty idea. Easy. You can do it online. It's pretty simple. It's the more and more you hear about the fake electors thing, you wonder how deep this plot went. As I've suggested on other of programs on your fine network, that I wonder if our Supreme Court conservatives were actually aware of what was going on and were, you know, ready to run cover. You know,
three of them certainly were, all excepting Hagedorn. They were all down to overturn the outcome of the election. It was a 4-3 vote. It was just the swing Hagedorn that prevented electoral chaos and a constitutional crisis care of Wisconsin.
And I think Hagedorn actually sold his integrity here. But I'd be interested if I was the prosecutor in that particular case. I'd be subpoenaing the Supreme Court justices and say, what did you know and when did you know it? Because, I mean, that happened on the same day for goodness sake, and it just gets smellier every time you hear about what was going on here. I mean, it just is. It's getting. Sounding worse and worse, and with the governor's call today for Josh Call to do something, hopefully action will start here in the state of Wisconsin.
I saw that.
It would be nice. Consequences. Governor Evers suggests there should be consequences for the fraudulent electors. Yes, I concur. Imagine if you knew someone in law enforcement or like an attorney general or someone like that, that you could, I don't know, pick up the phone and call. Is that proper? I don't know. Is something happening? What's happening, Josh Call? What's going on? These guys are fraudulent. They knew what they were doing was wrong and they did it anyway.
You know, you getting all political. I want to compare boat stories with Mark. Apparently he knows something about a boat. He did recommend that I put the plug back in the boat. Now, it seems illogical to me that you can, like, pull a plug and, you know, like a boat needs a plug. But apparently it does. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Did I mention I got a boat? We'll be right back. Anything is possible.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 60. Northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 63. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 50. High of 65 Thursday under cloudy skies. 72 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 71.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
So I'd like to know when you got the notion.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open. Going back to the lines soon at 844-967-2789. Crudy got a boat. Crudy, let me, if I may, just offer some suggestion for the boat. If you've seen any
more yacht rock
over the weekend, always more yacht rock. Montgomery, Alabama, looked like a couple of, let's call them what I would perceive to be drunken white racist dudes, tried to park their pontoon where a riverboat would normally park. And then they didn't like being told by the dock worker that they had to move their boat. And looks like, according to the video, they took exception to that and ganged up and started beating up on the African-American dock worker, a bunch of white dudes. Well, then a bunch of black people came out and started defending him, and a brawl ensued. So listen to the dock workers and don't be racist. Not that you are, but, you know, here's your boating advice. You know, 7 o'clock at night after being on the water all day drinking, just listen to the dock worker. Be nice. Everyone's just trying to do their job and keep everybody safe. 844-967-2789. Let's get to the lines. Ross, I'm sorry, Dick from Madison, you are first. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, in all this thing, last Friday's New York Times, there's a picture, a big one of Trump with his umbrella walking along. And you know how he's embraced this idea of being indicted? It suddenly came to me, what an awesome, if he had any sense of humor, he could have said, I'm singing after my indictment, my arraignment. What a glorious feeling I'm having. I'm indicted for the third time.
Singing in the rain, man.
Yes, it's the first thing that came to my mind. But he's nowhere near as talented as obviously Gene Kelly. But wouldn't it be nice if he would have broke into, I'm singing after my arraignment.
Yeah. He's singing after the arraignment. Yes, he doesn't have that kind of style, though, man.
No, not at all. He's got the skull on his face, the umbrella on. It's raining, and why wouldn't you go that route? He supposedly thinks this is a good thing.
Well, of course, he doesn't believe that, Dick. He knows this is a bad thing. Everybody involved in this knows this is a bad thing. I mean, you're facing 70-plus, you know, federal charges, given the, you know, success rate of the federal government when they charge federal charges, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and given the age, and you know, even if one of those stick, Dick, you know, it's damn near a life sentence for the man.
It's a life sentence, exactly.
Yeah.
It's an absolute life sentence. But, you know, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
The guy has no sense of humor whatsoever, never has, no self-deprecating. I mean, not that you would at this point, I guess, but the first thing that came to my mind when I seen that was that song from Singing in the Rain.
What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. Thanks for the call, Dick. 844-967-2789. Ross, you are next. Happy Monday, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, you guys. So I'm following up with Derek Van Orden, my representative over here in Crawford County, the 3rd District. You know, here he is. He's screaming at all these young guys, and you think, well, young kids, teenagers, yeah, here in Gaze Mills, I think it was, and then over in at the Washington D.C. Capitol. And here's a guy, 27 years in the military. Now, one of the things that, Cruz, you might remember in the military, it's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But and you think, well, why is Van Orden, like, that, where did his manners go? Well, it's because he was a SEAL team member. And these guys think that they're like the best of the best. And so, you know, so he's not going to apologize because he's never wrong. But he likes to brag. He likes to brag about all this work that he's already gotten accomplished since he's been a congressman. And, you know, and I'm thinking, like, okay, he's got a bunch of – he cleaned up the office. There might be some little office stuff that he's kind of doing. But what has he actually accomplished? He voted against he voted for a health care bill, a defense health care bill that took women, you know, soldiers and sailors and such, their right to choose. He took that – he voted to take that away from them. So here's this guy, 27 years as a SEAL team member, has his super high opinion of himself, yelling at young kids, and wants to brag about all he's done for veterans. But what has he done? Trying to take the rights away from women veterans.
Yeah, Ross. I mean, that's the practical reality of it. I mean, the embarrassment that he is in the state of Wisconsin as he represents us across the country is hard to deal with. Ross, I mean, how we talked about Dave Zweifel, his opinion piece that we referenced earlier. I mean, how did this guy get elected, Ross? I mean, from you, Sid, and do you think he has a chance of being reelected?
I think he's really hurt himself. I think in our district, you know, we have La Crosse, Eau Claire, and some other communities where I think women may come out to vote. I think he got voted in because he has some history. You know, he sort of plays the I'm a veteran, and so therefore everybody needs to sort of bow on bended knee to me because I'm a veteran. So he sort of gets that card, and I think he sort of has this, well, that's kind of, I think, the main thing. I think his attitudes, though, he's kind of a supposed religious conservative. Plus, I think the insurrection, his presence in the insurrection, I do not think is going to help him. So that, along with his
apparently it didn't hurt him. The man got elected to Congress, and he also was on paper for bringing a loaded handgun on an airplane on the return flight, Ross. I mean, just got to get the word out about this guy, right? We just got to get the word out.
I think that's what it is. I think that's it. I think that there needs to be more information. I think there's going to be a lot of money with Rebecca Cook, who's running against him. I think there's going to be some money out there, and I think people are going to find out about this guy, and it's going to seem like they're seeing him for the first time.
I hope you're right, Ross. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling, man. Keep the word going out there. Catherine from Madison, you'll have the last word this segment. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. I just have a real quick note to tell you. I really wanted to reach Josh Call because he's waiting so long. And so I Googled him. If you just Google Josh Call, Attorney General of Wisconsin, you get his page. At the bottom of the page, you can write him a note. Cool. It takes like 2 seconds. So I just suggest everybody does that. If everybody did that, maybe we get some action.
Did you do it, Catherine? When what was your note? Were you nice about it?
I was polite, but I said, it's time. You got to do this. I mean, come on. You know, I mentioned that they were already doing it in Michigan, and why not us? You know?
Well, Catherine, if he didn't notice your polite note, he should notice the governor of the state of Wisconsin making the same avocation over the weekend. Although
yeah,
I missed that.
We've got to join his short voice and send these notes to Josh Call. We really need to write to him.
Yes, ma'am. Excellent. Excellent suggestion. But I missed it because I was on a boat. Come back with us.
You and Cartman.
More Yacht Rock. Number two, you made him do this. You said always more Yacht Rock. That's what we're playing for you now. Come back to Happier Happy Hour, the Monday edition. Back to work. Cootie's back from up north there. Hey, and your calls could be next. 844-9-
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know.
ABC News.